Today's edition of the Daily Caller podcast is brought to you by Life Change Tea.
Why go to getthetea.com? Because this important news could change your life. Socrates made a statement saying that all disease starts in the gut. Take care of your gut, and well, the rest speaks for itself. Life Change Tea is a wonderful way to aid in your digestion. Brew it, steep it, drink it, and feel it go to work. We at Life Change Tea have been around for years helping people just like you feel better. Lots of testimonials and lots of happy people. Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Getthetea.com.
Alrighty, hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It's the Daily Caller podcast for the 31st day of March, 2019. I'm Derek Hunter. I'm your host. The last day of March. Already, March is just marching on. It's a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to you. Tomorrow is April Fool's Day, and aren't we all suckers? Huh? Am I right? I'm right. I'm Derek Hunter. I don't know if I said that or not. My back is screwed up. But I appreciate you listening, tuning in, telling a friend, and doing all that good stuff. April Fool's Day. I might have to do something special for April Fool's Day. Damn it. I didn't plan anything. You know what? I do have a guest lined up already. That's the big surprise. Who is it going to be? I'm not going to tell you. If you're on Twitter, you probably know who it is. If you've watched movies or television programs, you probably will know who this person is. I actually wouldn't know who it is by being on Twitter, but you would know who this person, you would know this person if you're on Twitter, or you should at least. I reached out to him, and he's a big-time actor, good guy, and a hell of an actor, and I love his stuff, and he's just a really nice guy, so I thought, let's get him on. It beats the hell out of Kurt Schlichter, who was my other choice from California. Just kidding. Kurt probably have him on soon enough, but you go right to the top when you start out in California. So you'll just have to tune in on April Fool's Day to see who the guest is. Of course, I could be lying. This is April Fool's Day, but it's not technically. Anyway, we've got a lot of things to cover, a lot of ground to cover in the time we have together. Today's sort of interview, if you will, is some repurposed phone calls from my radio program today. If it sounds like I'm really kind of tired in the radio interview, it's because I'm trying to be deferential to these guys, so I want them to be able to speak. One of them didn't bring a whole lot of energy, but I thought his information was good when he got around to saying it. Plus, my back has been killing me. Right now, I'm on drugs, so it's pretty good. But they're truck drivers. Three truck drivers called in, one after the other, and then we're interrupted by a very long press conference by the governor of the state of Maryland, where he announced the stay-at-home order. Yes, we are under lockdown now here in Maryland. We can go out to do, you know, essential things, whatever that is. But apparently, according at least to my reading of the rules, strip clubs are not essential. What a load of crap. So I'm just kidding. They're essential. No. There is a strip club out in Portland. And this is the American spirit I talk about. A strip club out in Portland, because obviously a strip club is, let's just say there's no social distancing if you do a strip club properly. I've never been to a strip club ever in my life. My knowledge of strip clubs comes from two movies, Showgirls and Striptease. Everything else, you know, and obviously the articles in Playboy. When I was in college, the closest bar to where I lived was three blocks away up Michigan Avenue in Dearborn. It was a strip club. Technically, there was another bar about three blocks the other way, but nobody was ever there. And the times that I was in there, I did not make out with a stripper at all. So I went the other direction. It was so bad. It was great because my friends would come over to my apartment all the time because we could just have some drinks at home and then go to the strip club. And because strip club drinks are expensive, you got to kind of show up drunk and then you just maintain. We'd go there so often. And they both had girlfriends. I didn't have a girlfriend at the time. And we called it church. I was like, oh, you want to go to church tonight? You want to go worship at the altar? We went there so often that we would get in for free. And the bartender became a friend of mine. And we would drink for free. So we'd get in for free and drink for free. Now, I don't know anybody in the world. Gay guys would go, you know what? I'll go look at some boobs. If I'm getting in for free and I'm drinking for free, I could do without the poison, the band Poison being in heavy rotation. But it's a fair trade. I mostly sat at the bar. There was the touchscreen video game, you know, that they have there with like 50 different video games. The bartender and I can't remember her name. I didn't say we were great friends. I just said we became friends. Might have been Kelly. I can't remember. But we would play Photo Hunt, where you got two pictures, the same picture, and you have to find the five differences inside of it based on time, like as fast as you can before the time runs out. We got pretty good playing that game together. And that got us, well, probably hundreds of dollars worth of drinks, but it was tens of thousands of dollars worth of strip club drinks. It's mostly just bottles of Labatt Blue. But hey, I'll take it, especially when I'm showing up drunk. I might have made some stripper friends as well. The good old days. But now strip clubs are closed. So this strip club in Portland, which is why I started talking about nudity, which is, you know, good, is they're closed, obviously. So they've opened their kitchen and they're now doing food delivery. And you get the strippers to come and deliver your food. They're wearing clothing. They're wearing their stage clothing. And apparently, well, I don't know about the rules of strip clubs in Oregon, but they have pasties on, and that's about it. So they got underpants and pasties on, and then jackets because it's a little nipply up there, if you will, chilly. So they're being innovative. You got to pay extra to get the girls to show up because, you know, you got to pay for them too, but they're making a living. They're making it by, and that is the ingenuity that so many of our businesses are showing, and that's a good thing. No matter what you think of strip clubs, I don't know what you think of strip clubs. I know what I think of strip clubs. I found them to be a nice place to drink when you live close to them and are broke. Of course, that doesn't apply to everybody. You got to put in some time up there. God, my one friend Kyle would spend a fortune on dances. He got cut off eventually because the bartender, maybe her name was Amy. I think her name might have been Amy. Haven't thought about her in a long time. God, I moved out here in 2001, so this would be like 1998-99, back in my younger, stupider days. Kyle would not tip Amy. See, that was the thing. My buddy Jeff would tip Amy all the time because, you know, $6 a beer that you're getting for free, even though you can get a whole six pack of Labatt Blue for $6 in Michigan back then, probably less. Jeff would throw her, you know, $40 or something at the end of the night. So thank you. Way less than he would have spent if he had to pay for his beers. Kyle would not do any of that, not do anything. He wouldn't give her much of anything, but he would get cash advances out on his Amex card that his employer gave him. He worked for a record label. So he's pulling out $200 and going to get dances at 20 a pop or whatever, and just being sort of a degenerate and not showing any love to the bartender. So he got cut off eventually. I never got cut off because I didn't really get dances all that. I was one girl that I would get dances from. The rest of the time, I just sat at the bar playing that video game because it was really like my Cheers for a while. And I would bring a CD for the bartender. I was burning CDs at the time. And so there would be at least a couple of songs that I liked played loud. You always try and sneak in like longer songs because the dances last like by the song. You bring up, could you play Alice's Restaurant and I'll get a dance to Alice's Restaurant? No, it wasn't like that. I just tried to play stuff that I thought wasn't 80s hair metal. Anyway, more information than you ever needed to know, and you perhaps have blackmail material over me, except for the fact that I readily admit it, and I've barely told you anything. Lordy, could I tell you all kinds of stuff. But it's good to see the ingenuity, and I think more strip clubs across the country, as that story of the Portland strip club sort of spreads out, will do that more often, because they've got to earn a living somehow. The dancers are independent contractors. There are a lot of independent contractors in this country. I'm not sure people understand that. Along those lines, by the way, oh, you can email me. Thanks for listening and downloading and subscribing and all of that. The numbers have been great. I know you're all stir crazy and you're thinking, oh my God, this is never going to end. It will end. Don't worry. If we're smart about it, it will end faster. And part of the reason why the Maryland, or the state of Maryland, went into lockdown is there's this jackass, I don't even want to say his name, but there's this jackass who was having parties. It's not the main reason, but he got arrested for having a party. He had 60 people over for a bonfire. Now, that means you got to have a little bit of property because he row houses in Baltimore, so he's clearly not living in Baltimore. There are big rural areas, and I'm sure he was in a big rural area, not thinking about anything, except that he'd been warned several times that he was having parties with 50, 60, 70 people come over. And he always complied when they said, you got to shut this down. Well, this time over the weekend, he decided not to comply and he got arrested. And his mugshot is a real winner. He's a 41-year-old man. And he looks like what you'd expect of, speaking of people you see at strip clubs, this would be the DJ. He's got a mohawk, which at 41 years old, he's got a mohawk. And it's blue. So maybe he had his head shoved up a Smurf's butt. I don't know. But he's got a blue mohawk at 41 years of age. And that mugshot, if you can find it online, if you just Google like Maryland party, his picture comes up. That mugshot tells you everything you need to know about the guy. He's 40. What kind of a 41-year-old has a mohawk and a blue mohawk? Either one of those things separately kind of is the equivalent of a hand tattoo. The two of them together is a full-blown neck collar tattoo, perhaps with a couple of things on the face as well. It tells me that you are not particularly, let's just say your time in jail, that whatever time you end up spending in jail, is not going to distract you from writing your dissertation on theoretical physics. It's not going to screw up your PhD. It's just not. And then you sit there and you think, what kind of an idiot would go to a party, right? Everybody kind of has the urge, like, hey, I wonder what my buddy's up to. Maybe he's probably safe by now. He's not sick. Maybe we can invite him over. And then you go, no, screw it. Got kids. Not even going to do it. If I were young and single, I probably would have had a friend or two over. Not a party, but a friend or two who are, living alone. But I'm not young and single. I have two kids running around and a wife. So I'm not about to expose them to anything. At 41 years old, the kind of guy that would not only invite 60 people over, but would have 60 people who in their lives would say, yeah, that sounds great. Let's go drink a bunch of beer and hang out near a big fire. What could possibly go wrong in the middle of a pandemic? So you can see everything by seeing this mugshot. You can see the type of people that he hangs around with. You can almost kind of see the kind of beer that was consumed. I'm just saying. So, yeah, he screwed up, and that helped the state go on lockdown. We are now, I am recording this, and it's after 8 p.m. 8 p.m. was when the state shut, the state of Maryland. Then Virginia soon followed. What's amazing about the state of Virginia shutting down is their end date isn't until June 10th. June 10th. That's a hell of a long lockdown. Now, they can rescind it much earlier than that, but June 10th sure as hell seems like a long time to be locked down, in my opinion. And then Washington, D.C. soon followed. So the whole they call it the DMV. I didn't start hearing people calling it the DMV until the last, year or so. Sounds kind of annoying, but then so is the DMV. So, yeah, we're all kind of locked in, locked down. We can go out to grocery stores. We can go for walks. We can go to like a Home Depot or something essential. But in general, we got to stay home. So there you go. I just there's always going to be somebody that's a total jackass that ruins everything. Speaking of somebody who's a total jackass who ruins everything, this story just kind of cracks me up. It's from the Courier Post up in New Jersey, of course, because why wouldn't it be New Jersey? The story, Trenton, a stay-at-home order hasn't helped some people stay out of trouble, authorities say. The state attorney general's office on Friday released a list of alleged offenses by South Jersey residents who might have been better off if they stayed inside. South Jersey, I'm told, is different from North Jersey, where I have two friends living. Actually, some of my oldest friends, my best friends, both in my wedding. Now they both live in New Jersey. They say that the Jersey Shore types are the South Jersey people. The order, intended to promote social distancing and curb transmission of the virus, took effect 9 p.m. March 21st. But one day later, a statement said 34-year-old Adrian Morris was charged in Gloucester Township after she allegedly went out drinking with a friend and crashed her car. She sounds lovely. She's probably single, fellas. Morris, who was initially described by the state agency as male, she's single, fellas, was accused of driving while intoxicated and reckless. On Tuesday, Carmen J. Francella, or Fresnella, I think, 25, allegedly went to the Waterford home of a woman and assaulted her. Fresnella was charged with aggravated assault and harassment. And a Pittman woman allegedly tossed a Molotov cocktail at a boyfriend's residence on Wednesday. Aren't these people lovely? It did not detonate, the Attorney General's office noted in a statement. The woman, Carly A. Roselle, 24, was charged with arson and weapons offenses. Oh, New Jersey. All three suspects were charged with disorderly persons offenses for violating the governor's order. Is there anything more Jersey than you can Molotov cocktail? I had to violate the curfew because I had to throw a Molotov cocktail at my boyfriend's house. How else is he supposed to know that I'm pissed off at him if I don't try to burn down his house and murder him with fire? A disorderly person's charge was also brought against Priya Millridge, 37, who allegedly held a party in Bridgeton Friday. The get-together violated the ban on large gatherings. It also noted charges against Zachary Hagen, a 34-year-old man who allegedly spat on a Gloucester Township police officer and claimed to have coronavirus. Come on, just put them in a room full of sharp objects and pills. Just let nature take its course. The gene pool would be so much. You know what? Give them a choice. All right, you want to go out and drink. You can go out and drink. You have to get sterilized. Okay, can we make that agreement? You voluntarily get sterilized, and you can get an I'm an essential person pass. If you have, then you can go anywhere, do whatever you want. How about that? That'd be a fair trade. Do we want these people polluting the gene pool? Of course, their actions are so stupid, and they're all over the age of 15 in New Jersey, so there's a possibility they have children already. It might be too late. I suspect the ability to continue to go out and party would be enough for them to sign over custody of their children to the state, who then can adopt them out. So in the long run, the world would be better off in many, many, many ways. But I think we need to get through this. These people are so damn stupid. Speaking of people who want work, Whole Foods employees and the people who deliver groceries shipped are allegedly going to strike today. They have a problem. They want more money. They want combat pay. The grocery store delivery people want $5 extra per delivery. They want more money for Amazon workers. It is a full-blown strike, if you will. I don't begrudge them the desire to get more money, to make more money, and all of that, but I'm not sure a strike is the way to go about it. Especially, I mean, that there's leverage and then there's leverage. And to abuse their position right now, especially at a time when 3.3 million people last week filed for unemployment, and these are not high barrier to entry positions, right? So I'm not sure that that's the best strategy, because I think that there are a lot of people out there who would be more than happy to take over these positions from them. They're all hiring. There are lots of companies that are actually hiring. Amazon is hiring like 100,000 more people right now because of the volume that they're doing. So there are a lot of people out there who are hiring. So being a strike, look, from a strategic standpoint, if all you care about is getting the money, and that's it, and you really think you can get it, which, again, with 3.3 million new people unemployed, I'm not sure of, but if that's what you want, and the public sentiment, you want to remain in the good graces of the American public in a situation like this, you'll launch a PR initiative. A strike should not be your end game. Should not be your first card played. It should be the card that you hold, that you lord over the people, but it should not be your first card played. These guys seem to be playing it first. If they've tried to do some PR based on the coronavirus and what's going on to try and get some public support behind them and maybe increase their tips or what have you, I haven't seen it, and it's kind of my job to look for stuff like that, but I haven't been searching for it. But if this is your first card played, that's it. You're blowing your wad. So you kind of screwed yourself into a corner. So I'm not sure this is going to work in an economy where there are millions of people not only looking for work, but also yearning to not be locked up in their houses. If I went and took one of these jobs, I could leave the house. I would be an essential person. I could go anywhere I wanted pretty much at any time. You get a piece of paper from the government that says that my job is essential, and I can go around, officer, do not. If you saw the Untouchables, the horrible movie. It's fine. It's a fine movie. It's a horrible piece of history because it's not at all what actually happened. Frank Nitti, for example, went to jail. He wasn't thrown off a rooftop of a courthouse and murdered by Elliot Ness, who then casually joked about it and never brought it up again. Because I'm pretty sure even back in the 20s, you'd do some time for throwing somebody off of a roof who you had in custody. Call me old-fashioned. But in that, he's carrying a business card with the mayor writing on it saying that Mr. Nitti is allowed to extend him every courtesy, he can carry a gun or whatever the hell it is. So it's kind of like one of those things. It's like a get-out-of-jail-free card to get this declared an essential person declaration by the state. I technically could get one because I work in the media, and a person in the media can get them. I'm not sure how essential we are, but if I needed to go to the radio station to fill 3 hours of radio every morning, which I have to do, I could get one of these things to drive around. My producer has one, for example. Everybody that works at the radio station has one. I do my radio show from home now, so I don't need to drive up there. So I didn't bother getting one because I would just abuse it. And it's just like I don't go to casinos because I know that I would become a problem gambler pretty easily if I went to casinos regularly. I don't do that because I can't. It's like same reason I don't smoke crack anymore. No, same reason I don't smoke crack because I don't want to be a crack addict. Am I curious about what crack feels like? Because people who do it sure seem to love it. I'm a little bit curious, not super curious. I know, a little bit like, what is this about this heroin that's got everybody so psyched about it? I don't know. I don't want to know. But part of me, wouldn't mind knowing just a little bit. But I'm not going to do it because there's a possibility I could become an addict. I know when I gamble and I lose, what goes through my head is I could win it back if I just keep gambling. And when I gamble and win, what goes through my head is I can win more if I just keep gambling. That's why when I, on the rare occasions I do go into a casino, I've got $50 or $100 or whatever. That's it. That's it. I'm cutting it off because I'll blow a ton of it thinking, well, oh, I'm just one roll or one card away from. You're not. The odds reset every time, and they're always against you, or else the house wouldn't be in business. So, yeah, that's my story. I'm sticking to it. Anyway, there are a couple of things I want to get to before we get to the truckers, letting you know what it's like out there for truckers right now and all of the BS garbage regulations. And, you know, they have to pay somebody to unload their trucks. They have to pay somebody to unload their, they can't unload their trucks themselves. The whole thing just seems like an overregulated mess. And the truckers themselves have so little control over anything. But I want to give a shout out to some of the private sector companies that are now stepping up to help in the coronavirus case. Big shout out to Abbott Labs. They've developed a coronavirus test that can give you a result in as little as 5 minutes, which is, again, a testament. If you imagine the government being in charge of this, they'd send it to you by mail after you submitted forms in triplicate and all this other garbage that happens every time you need some piece of paper that nobody who works in government, yet it's all their jobs, seems to know what the hell you're talking about. And inevitably, no matter which department they transfer you to or you line you stand in, it's the wrong one and you've got to go into a different one. Well, the private sector doesn't play that game. The private sector steps up. People want to know. They want to know quickly. Abbott Labs has now given them the ability to do just that. And they did it, what, in a couple of weeks? In a couple of, maybe 2 months? That's what they did. This is what they come together. There's no way in God's green earth government could do that. Brooks Brothers is flipping over some of their manufacturing to make surgical gowns, medical gowns, you know, hospital gowns. Awesome. They're going to be very fashionable. They're going to be very wildly fashionable. And as we learned on Friday's show when we had Mike Lindell from MyPillow on, they've shipped over 75% of their business to manufacturing face masks for medical professionals. They're not available. You can't buy them in stores. You can't buy them on their website. These are for medical first responders, which is wildly important and crucially needed right now. And the last one, by the way, there are a bunch of liberals out there, really just god-awful people, who got upset because Mike Lindell was at the presidential press conference. There were a bunch of CEOs. I love what the president is doing. When a company steps up, when a company is really making a difference and kicking in this fight and helping out the American people, the president of the United States invites the head of their company to come to one of these daily press conferences. That's a pretty sweet deal. It's a great reward. It highlights companies that are doing good, and it conversely puts pressure on companies that are not stepping up. Right? New Balance is stepping up. They are making medical masks too. Highly desired, desperately needed. Nike, what are they doing? I don't know what Nike's doing. Nike's worthless. Nike's probably figuring out a way for Colin Kaepernick to make a statement to make it about race or something like that. So screw Nike. Congratulations, New Balance. Highlight them. And highlighting the companies doing good also highlights the companies doing bad without having to name them. But because Mike Lindell was up there, a whole bunch of the blue checkmark brigade, the blue checkmark is the new brown shirt. They were beside themselves. A tech lawyer who writes for apparently the New York Times, along with a couple of other websites that you probably never have heard of, Jamie O'Grady tweeted out, "Are you effing kidding me? He has the MyPillow guy to sell his garbage product during a pandemic briefing?" Yeah, he's up there to talk about how he's shut down his company for all intents and purposes and is now helping the United States of America. Sam Stein, who is at the Daily Beast as well as an MSNBC so-called contributor, said, "I'm a proponent of carrying Trump's pressers. I'm a proponent of TV carrying Trump's pressers. But allowing corporations to use them as advertising platforms seems like the exact opposite of news." People like Sam would much rather see all of these industries nationalized, comrade, right? Power to the people. People are sick. Ali Velshi, who hosts a show on MSNBC, it's called Velshi I don't know what the hell, why that. He also, I think he used to be on with, what's her face? Stephanie Ruhle, the dumbest person in cable news, but somehow they separated these two. Together, they made one semi-coherent person with an IQ just above 70. Like by percentages, not a full round number. But they broke them up because that was too brainy for the MSNBC audience. He tweeted out, "Trump just called the My Pillow guy to the podium in the Rose Garden. You cannot make this stuff up." Now, all of these people tweeted this the second they saw Mike Lindell. There are more, by the way. There is a CNN editor named Ramgopal. His first name is Ram. His last name is Ramgopal. He is an executive editor at CNN. Said, in case you were wondering what the MyPillow guy is doing in the time of coronavirus, and then there's Mike Lindell, because this is who they are. They all tweeted this, by the way, before they knew what Mike Lindell was doing there. They don't listen to this show. They should. If they did, they wouldn't have their heads so far up their asses. So they didn't know what Mike Lindell was doing there. They just saw him. And they knew he was a conservative. And they're like, oh, God, the MyPillow guy. And they had a visceral reaction because they're bad people. Then Mike Lindell announced what his company is doing, which you learned on Friday. Not a one of them has subsequently tweeted, wow, I really shit the bed on that one. I jumped the gun. I apologize. What Mike Lindell is doing. No, no, no. What Mike Lindell is doing is much more important to the country as a whole and to the world than what all of CNN and their employees are doing, all of MSNBC and their employees are doing. Yet employees of these networks belittled Mike Lindell for being there simply because Mike Lindell was there. And they couldn't go back. They could not admit that they made any kind of mistake, any kind of prejudgment. Not at all. They just all collectively moved on because they're scumbags. And I mean that with all due respect. These freaking people. I was going to play the Jim Acosta. Yeah, you know what? Really quickly, I'll play the Jim Acosta clip just because I cut it up and it's... Jim Acosta got a question, and you can hear the president at the beginning. He basically says, yeah, all right, let's give it a shot, as Jim Acosta was asking for a chance to ask a question. And Jim Acosta, he accosted it.
Go ahead. Let's give it a shot.
Sir, what do you say to Americans who are upset with you over the way you downplayed this crisis over the last couple of months? We have it very much under control in this country. The coronavirus is very much under control in the USA. It's going to disappear. It's like a miracle. It will disappear. At March 4th, we have a very small number of people in this country infected. March 10th, we're prepared. We're doing a great job with it. It will go away. Just stay calm. It will go away. What do you say to Americans who believe that you got this wrong?
And I do want them to stay calm. And we are doing a great job. If you look at those individual statements, they're all true. Stay calm. It will go away. You know it is going away. And it will go away. And we're going to have a great victory. And it's people like you and CNN that say things like that, that it's why people just don't want to listen to CNN anymore. You could ask a normal question. The statements I made are, I want to keep the country calm. I don't want panic in the country. I could cause panic much better than even you. I could do much. I would make you look like a minor league player. But you know what? I don't want to do that. I want to have our country be calm and strong and fight and win. And it will go away. And it is incredible, the job that all of these people are doing, putting them all together, the job that they're doing. I am very proud of the job they're doing, that Mike Pence is doing, that the task force has done, that Honeywell and Procter and Gamble and Mike and all of these people have done. I'm very proud. It's almost a miracle, and it is, the way it's all come together. And instead of asking a nasty, snarky question like that, you should ask a real question. And other than that, I'm going to go to somebody else. Please.
God, Jim McConnell. Yeah, that's the question that's burning up Americans' minds right now. Mr. President, 2 months ago, you said we got this under control. 2 months ago, you said that, Jim, 2 months ago, you called me racist for shutting down travel from China. You really want to play the 2 months ago game? Because there isn't a news organization in the world that wasn't running some kind of piece, a variation of coronavirus is no big deal. Quit whining, stop worrying about it. No, it's no worse. It's actually better for you. It's better for you than the flu. So these people are all just raging hypocrites. And of course, I know some people in the White House press corps, when you talk about Jim Acosta, they cringe a little because they know that while none of them really distinguish themselves as great reporters, they know that every time Jim opens his mouth, he makes them all look even worse. They're already held in low enough esteem, and Jim Acosta comes along and makes it even worse. That should be his nickname. I make things worse. He should have that printed on his business card. Instead, you just know his business card is like a picture of him, signed, sincerely, Acosta. I doubt he even writes the first name. He just goes by Acosta when he signs his name. God, what a pile of human garbage. But if you're stopped up with Acosta, I've got the cure. Life Change Tea. That's right. It's the tea that makes you go, and it'll get rid of all that Acosta up in your digestive tract and allow you to absorb more of the nutrition from the food that you eat every day. With that will come better energy, just a better sense of feeling, a better way of life, quite frankly. It comes, you brew up a gallon of it at once. You drink a cup a day, just a cup a day. You don't want to Acosta your pants. You don't want to spend all weekend on the toilet Acosta-ing. You just want to take it as directed, and you will be regular, and then you'll start feeling better, and you'll say, wait a second, this is weird. This is a different, I remember this feeling. I was much younger when I last had this feeling. All you got to do is go to getthetea.com. They have a bunch of great products there, including all different types of flavors of tea. You choose whatever you want to try. You put it in your basket at checkout. You hit Derek in the promo code, type in D-E-R-E-K, click apply, you get free shipping on top of it. Free fast shipping on top of great savings for great products. You help the program, you help yourself. It's the circle of life, as they say. And you'll rid yourself and your life of a lot of unnecessary Acosta. Let's face it, you've already stocked up on toilet paper. You might as well put it to good use. Acosta. They should change the name to Get the Acosta. Maybe not. Anyway, thanks to them and thanks to you for all of that. Now we'll go to the phone calls and the story of what it's like to be a trucker now and what it's like to be a trucker in general, because one of the truckers that called in was retired. And it's not good. These people need regulatory relief as well as help in general and our eternal gratitude. Sadly, I think that when this is all over, we'll go back to taking them for granted and even worse again in the future. We shouldn't, because we'd be screwed without them. So I tip my cap. I am wearing my the Replacements, not for the movie. People always go, is that for the movie? No, it's for the band, The Replacements. I am wearing my Replacements baseball hat right now, and I took it off my head. And I tip it for the truck drivers. So here you go.
Welcome to the Derek Hunter Show on Talk Radio 680 WCVM.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the Derek Hunter Show. I am the Derek Hunter, the number 410-WCBM 680 or 1-800-WCBM. Before the break, we were talking to Bruce in Dundalk, who's a truck driver. He was kind enough to hold through. Bruce, thank you for sticking through with us.
You're welcome.
We've got another guy who also drives a truck. We'll bring on, would join us in a second. But I want to get your take. You say you joined the ranks of the truckers about 3 years ago after retiring from your other job. And
yes,
what was the biggest going in? Everybody thinks they at least have some sense of what the job is like. What was the biggest difference between what you thought it would be like and what it was actually like?
The hours are long. We're allowed to be on duty 14 hours a day, driving only 11 of that, though. But it's long hours. You know, you're not driving the entire time, but you're, you know, you're on duty, possibly waiting for a load to be ready.
And that counts. If where you're picking up your load from, they're on break or short-staffed that day, that counts, eats into your 14 hours and how much work you can get done, right?
Right, right. And a lot of, I mean, my company is, you know, I love the company I work for, but a lot of guys aren't paid for that. They're only paid for when those wheels are rolling. You know, they don't get paid for that. They get some kind of detention time after a certain amount of hours that they're sitting.
Is it true that like the motto is first 2 hours are free?
Kind of for a lot of companies, yeah. Yeah, and that's a big peeve of mine that, you know, I'm fine with what I'm making with my company. I'm making pretty good money, but a lot of drivers out there really need to be bumped up in pay. You know, I mean, they put a lot of hours in, and, you know, it's like a constant, you know, when you're working a regular job, I guess, it's different. Driving, you have to constantly be aware of your surroundings. You have to constantly know what's going on around you. And it's very tiring, extremely tiring is one thing that I never realized that it would be, because you're always on the alert. And, you know, that's one thing that was different.
When you see all of these regulations being waived, you know, the number of hours you can work in a day, the number of hours you can drive, weight limits, things like that, you're left wondering why in the hell, if we can waive them now, why they're in place at all?
I mean, I see some value to them, but some of them need to be changed probably for good, because a lot of times it's playing the game of beat the clock, you know, which forces drivers to drive faster, maybe to be not as careful as they normally would be, because there's penalties for, you know, bringing a load in late. You know, they could be penalized financially for it, you know, and things like that. So, but in the, you know, overall, I believe that.
So if you run into a traffic jam, you really can get screwed financially.
Oh, well, like I drive, when I'm driving down to the Carolinas, I have to go through, typically at 95 South, and I go through Northern Virginia. It is always, always backed up, always backed up. I lose, you know, because I drive dedicated routes, and I typically leave maybe Baltimore area like around 4 o'clock. And by the time I get down in Northern Virginia, I'm into that Northern Virginia traffic. And I lose 2 hours or more sometimes, you know, getting, you know, past it.
So what do you think people, you hear people talk about truckers, you hear people talk, what do you think the biggest misconception about the truck driver is right now?
I'm not really sure. I just know there are some drivers out there that abuse things. Like say for instance at a rest area, or I think the way they leave the area, you know, I throwing trash out into the parking lot, not having respect for the places that there are, you know, that there is available to shut down at. you know, like dumping urine onto the parking lot, they have in containers, or throwing trash, or, you know, things like that, kind of ruin it for everybody, you know.
You mentioned the need for safe places. When you got into it, see, I didn't know this until yesterday when I was listening to that guy's talk on Facebook about the problem of crimes against truck drivers who are trying to find a place to sleep, to rest. Talk a little bit about that, if you don't mind.
Like I said, I drive dedicated, so I start. So when I shut down, it's usually 2, 3 in the morning. From, you know, I start maybe 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't shut down until 2 or 3 in the morning. There's like nowhere. I mean, because I don't do over the road, and usually over the road drivers have, you know, have gotten themselves scheduled. So they start shutting down. They start looking for a place probably around 4 to 6 o'clock. And, you know, they're packed everywhere you go. Truck stops, you know, so that's why you see all these trucks lined up at the entrance of the and the exit of the service at the rest stops, all the way up on the shoulder.
Right.
There's just no place to shut down. I've never really had any issues, I guess, with safety, and I've been by myself in areas where I've had to shut down. But it's not safe. I mean, you're very vulnerable, doing that. I just wish there were more areas is all. It just make us feel a lot safer if we can pull in, you know, amongst, other drivers where, you feel
just, just dedicated parking lots where you guys can kind of look out for each other.
Exactly. But well, they're filled.
How long until you're back out on the road, Bruce?
We have to take a 10-hour break.
No, but you said you had gallbladder surgery, so.
I'm sorry?
You said you had gallbladder surgery, so you've been off for a couple weeks.
Right. I was supposed to go out. It was two Fridays ago. I was supposed to go out that afternoon, and I woke up previously that morning. The pain was so bad I couldn't stand up, and it's just, I went to urgent.
So when are you going to be able to get back out there and get working again?
Well, I have a post-op exam tomorrow at Franklin Square.
So it should be very soon.
And they're going to clear me to, you know, to go back to work.
Well, I appreciate what you do, Bruce, and we appreciate what all of you do. Appreciate the phone call. Thank you for sticking through.
You're welcome. Very welcome.
Be careful out there. Let's talk to Brian in Pennsylvania. You're also a truck driver, Brian.
Yes, sir. Hello, Derek.
How are you? Are you actively out there now?
No, I am at home.
You heard us talk about what's going on and the difficulties of it and the.
Definitely.
What has been your experience?
35 years over the road, all 48 states.
Wow. You ever seen anything like this?
Not really. The parking situation has always been bad.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants their stuff run on a truck, but nobody wants a truck to park near their, not in my backyard kind of deal. When Sam Walton was alive, you could park a truck and go to sleep in any Walmart parking lot. No problem. The last few years, a lot of Walmarts, you park in the parking lot, you go to sleep, you wake up with a boot on the truck. And call the towing company. And they want, you know, $1,000 to take the boot off the truck.
Right.
They don't care if you went into Walmart or not to buy anything. Too bad. Another thing, the hours of service.
Uh-huh.
The one thing that has not ever been addressed, I think, is the time spent loading and unloading. It's shippers and receivers.
Is it true, Brian, that you guys have to pay people to unload your trucks?
Lumpers. Oh, yes. A lot of places, grocery warehouses especially, they'll have a, quote, lumper service, which is an outside contractor.
But it means you can't unload your truck. The people who ordered the stuff aren't going to unload the truck. They have this intermediary that you have to pay to take your stuff off.
Right. Now, some places years ago, they used to allow you to unload your own truck. But a lot of guys would and get, you know, and get a little extra money and exercise. But most places now, no. They have the lumper service. The lumpers will tell you it's going to cost $300-$400 to unload your truck.
And you as the driver are responsible for that?
Oh, yes. Or the company, or if you drive for a company, the company you drive for, well, they'll foot the bill. They'll pay it.
Now, what about the, and another thing this guy talked about in his Facebook thing is the brokers, the ones who decide who, which goes, what goes where, the load.
Brokers are intermediaries. They find the loads from the shippers, and they connect it to the truck drivers. And there's no regulation on how much the broker can make. The broker can cut the rate down as much as he wants to, as long as he can find somebody to haul the rate, haul the freight for him.
So it's kind of like a reverse auction.
Yeah. And, I wouldn't call it that. He'll come out with a rate, say he gets paid $1,000 for the load. If he can find somebody to haul it for $500, he'll throw it on them. Put the rest of the money in his pocket. There's no regulation saying how much they can take, how much they will take, anything. And but my biggest complaint was loading and unloading. You know, you give the first 2 hours free.
Mm-hmm.
It's just it's not a law. It's been common practice since the 30s, I guess. 2 hours. After 2 hours, you can charge them detention time. The only thing is, get him to pay it is another thing. You can charge all you want to, but get him to pay it may be another question. But then you get to it, you're on the clock. Your clock is run. When you start in the morning, your clock is running. 14 hours later, you must shut down regardless. You go to a shipper. Okay, your load's ready. Go to a dock. You back into the dock. It takes them 6 hours to load your truck. Well, you're 6 hours into your day right there. That leaves you 8 hours to do everything you got to do.
Now, in this situation, Brian, with, uh-huh, I imagine a lot of shipping that used to be going on, it's not all food, not all necessities.
Right.
There's a lot of frivolous shipping. That means that there are a lot more drivers competing for the food shipments right now.
There's 2018 and 2018 was a very good year for us. For the rates. 2019, they started down. There's a lot more people, smaller companies popping up, a lot more companies hiring more and more drivers, which there's more and more truck capacity, so the rates come down. And it's a race to the bottom.
It's a race to the bottom, and now with more truckers looking for jobs, the rates are going. So you guys are working more and making less, working the same and making less.
Right. The big companies can absorb it.
Yeah, but a lot of you guys are independent contractors that can't absorb it.
You get a company with 500 trucks, well, half the trucks make money one day and half the trucks don't, well, they're still coming out ahead. But a small company with a few trucks or the poor guy with one truck, he's got that payment coming every month. The bank doesn't care if he made money or not. He's got to make payments.
Well, I just want you guys to know that you're appreciated, and we've been taking you for granted for far too long. Brian, do the CB radios still exist?
Yes, but it's not near what it was.
Is there anything we, the public, can do to that you want the public to know? Is there any way we can help?
There's a few things I can't really say on the radio, but I'm not going there. My biggest peeve is if you're, how do I put this? Don't ride beside me. I mean, get in front of me, get behind me, but don't ride beside me. Because I'm sitting up high, I can see a lot farther down the road than you can. If something happens, I may need to change lanes or move very quickly. And if there's nowhere for me to go, the results may not be pretty.
Pass, follow, but not beside. Get out of the way. Give you a wide berth. I absolutely agree with that. Are you having trouble finding food out there, Brian?
I take a lot with me in the. I took a lot with me in the truck. That's cook in the truck.
That's smart. Everything
now. With the restaurants all closed down, everything's carry out.
Yeah.
Fast food and carry out.
Well, you guys are keeping the country together right now, Brian. And so we're going to owe you for we're eternally grateful, even though it seems like a lot of people don't say it a lot of the time. Thank you for calling in, Brian, and be safe out there. Welcome back to the program. Halfway there, halfway home. Let's go to Phil in Baltimore. Phil, thank you for holding.
Hey, good morning, Derek. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Phil?
Good, good. Just to let you know something, I drove a truck for 31 years, started in the mid-80s, retired mid-2017 here.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at my CDL history, it says begin. The next line says end, okay? I used to drive regional, cover a couple million miles, was lucky enough to never have anything happen. However, I'll tell you three things here. Number one, unscrupulous shippers and receivers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The worst ones in this area, if you don't mind me mentioning names, is that okay?
I'd prefer you not. If you can imply it, then every trucker will know what you're talking about, but I'd rather you not.
Warehouses around here, especially down in the Landover area, are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, receivers up in the Aberdeen area are terrible. When I first started driving, you'd show up at a place and everybody was happy to see you. Hey, man, what you got? So forth and so on. Now, they only want to hold you up. It seems like nobody wants to work. Nobody wants to do anything.
Is there a benefit financially for them to sort of slow walk you guys?
Well, you know, they get overtime if things go slower.
Hmm.
You know, and a lot of these grocery warehouses are union places. I know it's going to anger people, but it's the truth. Okay? And on the road, the first gentleman that spoke to you is a new guy. Okay, you could tell. The mm-hmm. second guy is exactly right. My biggest peeve driving on the road was people riding next to you. People in cars have no idea what one of those things will do to you. They play games with you. Okay? A lot of the officers in the weigh stations and things like that, some of them never drove a truck before in their life. They're just looking at a book. Okay, they have nothing. All right, and they, you know, they're making money for the state.
Right.
It's unfortunate, but it's the truth.
Well, they're essentially toll collectors, but there is a purpose for it. If you're hauling,
there is a purpose because in the beginning, or there was a lot of unscrupulous people, and they straighten things out. But you're forced a lot of times to do what you're doing because of the people around you. And, you know, your company's trying to support you, but they're trying to make money, too.
Are there games you guys can play to get around those way stations? They all have hours. So it's,
well, some people do, but if you get caught and something goes wrong, that's a big ticket. You know, you're the benefits and the penalties, I think the penalties far outweigh the benefits sometimes.
And you're responsible as the driver, not the company that loaded you up, not the company you work for.
Exactly correct. Exactly correct. You know, you have to count on the scales. You know, if the scales where you go weigh your stuff is good, Sometimes they're off, sometimes they're not. But a lot of the good scale operators, you have that ticket, they'll help you. Okay, you can go back to them and you can recoup some of the money.
Now, when you hear what's going on and the work that's being done right now, talk about the, I guess you can't really call them co-workers. What do you call your fellow drivers?
Oh, if it's the same company and everything, they're definitely your brothers, your fellow drivers. It is definitely a brotherhood. And it years ago, it was more of a brotherhood. Now, because of the money and the way the last gentleman was describing the cutthroat situation, it's a lot of cutthroat stuff.
When you see what they're doing now in keeping this country alive, essentially, are you surprised? Or you like that? Of course, that's
I'm not surprised at all, because the adage is absolutely true. If you got it, it came on a truck. In some iteration, it came on some kind of truck. Okay, and like the man said about resting and everything, that's absolutely true, too. Nobody wants you parking around anywhere.
But in the time that you drove, did you ever have any problems with, while you were trying to sleep, somebody coming along and messing with you?
Take a break. Virginia, I always liked going through Virginia. Virginia State Police and everything were probably pretty good. But because of our own people, our own drivers, go into a place, it's a nice parking place, some of them, they start leaving trash, different things, and then people don't want you. Okay? A lot of it is brought on by individual drivers that just don't care about the next guy. That was always my creed. When I got out of my truck looked like my house. Okay? Other people aren't like that. Okay? Dirtballs. Some of them, they just don't think about the next guy, and that's where your problems come.
What can we do, or what... What would you say, Phil, is the biggest misconception Americans have about truck drivers?
That they want to run you off the road, that they're bad drivers. I hate seeing the local commercial we have around here about a guy standing up on a truck telling you, if you've been hit by a truck, so forth and so on, I'm going to get this for you, get that for you. Okay, people really believe this. I mean, it's a constant thing. You have to have your head on a swivel. You better watch out what you're doing. You try to maintain safe distance. You can't, because as soon as you do, somebody gets in front of you. Okay, and they'll get in front of you and slam on their brakes. They think you're driving an 80,000-pound Porsche out here. Okay, it doesn't work like that.
If you could change one of all the regulations that now govern the trucking industry, what would it be?
I think they need to separate the hours of driving from hours of service, because a lot of guys are stuck someplace loading and they're actually sleeping or resting, but they'll count that as service against them and then they can't go.
Well, Phil, I appreciate the phone call, and you know, I know you're retired, but I get the feeling you're itching to be back out there.
Not really, because I don't want somebody... Like I said, my CDL license has nothing on it. Nothing. No strike. But they're constantly looking up your butt to find something. They need to start regulating the idiots in cars a lot more than they do the idiots in trucks.
A lot of idiots out there. I'll give you that, Phil. I'm just one of those idiots in a car, but I think I'm a pretty good driver.
Well,
I appreciate...
Stay away from the truck. That's all.
Amen. Thank you, Phil. Yes, yeah, stay away from the trucks. Stay away from the idiot drivers. Don't be an idiot like I am. And thank God for truck drivers, because next time you go to the grocery store, there will be food there. Not because in the back of the grocery store there is a huge processing plant to can, grow, cut, butcher, whatever you want to do. Nothing. They aren't producing anything except for maybe if they have a bakery. But most of the bread they don't produce themselves. It is brought in on trucks. And without them, we would be really, totally, and completely screwed. That is all the time we have for today. My daughters are fighting in the next room, and one of them smells like poop. I can smell it from here, so I get to go deal with that. Picking them up is a real pain in the back right now. But Quinn, leave her alone. Hey, cut it out. You didn't need to hear that, but you did. We will be back tomorrow. We'll have another special guest, a real live interview, not a repurposed part of my program, tomorrow. But, hey, you know what? I think it's important we hear from truck drivers. And I want to hear from you. Derek@dailycaller.com is the email address. And the Patreon website is patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast. Now go out and make sure you don't Acosta yourselves. I'll see you tomorrow.